Today on Everyday Economics, a subject which might be rather close to you, so close you might be wearing it around your neck or on your finger or in your teeth. Do they still put gold in teeth? I guess they do. My guest, Peter Martin, is wearing it in at least two of those places, he tells us. I'm talking about gold. Why does it seem to be so special? Why is it the price of it quoted at the end of news reports? You know, at the end of every bulletin, what's going on here? Peter is, of course, economics editor of The Age. Welcome back.
G'day.
Does this mean you have a gold chain to offset that hairy chest?
I have never taken off this gold ring since the day Tony put it on my finger.
Oh.
And that was 15 years ago.
Oh, that's lovely.
Enough about me.
She's probably listening.
Can't take it off, actually. You know the knuckle.
Now, look, don't stuff it up now. She might be listening. Now, I guess let's just start at the beginning. Why is gold considered so special?
The US radio program Planet Money,
National
Public Radio.
Not that into money, but it's a fantastic radio program.
Yeah, because it's not about money. So they tried to work out this question. They went through the entire periodic table, you'd know that, and there are a lot of things you have to eliminate that would be no good for use as money, gases, radioactive elements. It needs to be durable, mm-hmm. and it needs to last forever. In other words, can't be tarnished by, you know, doesn't wear away. So in 100 years' time, it still needs to be the same. It needs to be divisible. Remember we talked about fungibility?
Yeah.
So you need to be able to divide it up into as many bits as you want. They went through, after eliminating the heavy elements and the light elements.
And the gases and things that didn't explode upon contact with air. And
they said actually it had to not be a gas, not burn and not kill you. they were left
If a gold ingot dropped on you, you might be in trouble.
Yes, in that way. They were left with gold, silver, rhodium, palladium, copper and platinum. Mm. Now, rhodium and palladium are relatively recent discoveries, so that they couldn't have done. Gold has been used since the 1800s. Silver actually tarnishes. It wears away with air, although it's certainly been used as currency.
Mm.
Copper has been used as currency, but there's so much of it. That's another thing. You need it to be rare, but not completely rare. And platinum is a good candidate, but you need a very high temperature to melt at 1,700 degrees. Gold, on the other hand, is perfect. And that's probably why, since, as I said, about the 1800s, people have used it as something which, if you like, is always there,
mm.
can always be divisible and doesn't change.
There's an interesting concept called the prison camp economy,
yes.
and gold has a story to tell there.
Gold is the classic example of that. In 1945, a paper called The Economic Organization of a Prisoner of War Camp was published in the US Journal. I've put a link to it on the website, and what's astounding is that this paper, academic paper written by a former prisoner of war, an economist who was imprisoned in Italy and then moved to Germany, describes really lucidly how from nothing this currency developed, and it was cigarettes. Now, so much so that people who were non-smokers demanded to have cigarettes. And they swapped them because everything, after a while, things were quoted in the price of cigarettes because they fulfilled this quality of being fairly unchangeable, being divisible. In other words, you know, they're very small, a packet of them is large and so on, and all sorts of things. You know, cheese was sold for 7 cigarettes. The price has changed, of course, according to what was in the ration packs.
That impulse to develop some sort of medium of exchange.
We have it. This is, I think, innate. Left in almost any situation, you know, the classic desert island, you'll find that that's what people do, and they need something.
It's intriguing, and that's probably another conversation. But obviously, cigarettes cause cancer. Gold doesn't. So how was
They don't cause cancer. See, they don't cause cancer if you don't smoke them.
Yeah, that's a good point. But let's get to gold. The gold standard, I mean, so countries came to link their money supply to gold through the gold standard. Does that still exist? Just explain
anymore. But what happened was, in order for the Yanks to show the Brits and the Brits to show the Yanks that their currency was worth something, they said, oh, well, you know, £1 or $1 is worth so much gold. And they fixed the rate. Now, that meant that there was an exchange rate, and when there was, all of the other countries piled in. It was very useful if you believe that money should be fixed, virtually fixed. Gold was discovered in Australia and California, and that upset things a bit, but virtually a fixed amount of gold, which just circulates.
The governments want more control over the
That's how it broke down. Mm. In 1971, Richard Nixon, or before that actually, after the war, the Bretton Woods Agreement, as it was called, specified that US currency would be backed by gold. Every US dollar would be exchangeable in gold, which the US had in Fort Knox. Every other currency would be swapped for US dollars. That way every other currency would be solid. Well, yeah, every currency was exchanged for US dollars. And then in 1971, Nixon, who decided that the economy needed a bit of a boost, in other words, they needed a few more dollars around than they had gold, just said, nope, US is the global currency, no question there, but we're not going to swap it for gold. And it was over.
Mm. Go on.
The question is, why does it continue?
So why do people still invest in gold? Not just people, mum and dad investors, yes, but also governments, including the Australian Reserve Bank.
The Reserve Bank has a good deal of gold in its vault in Martin Place in Sydney. A lot of the rest...
Our version of Fort Knox.
Exactly. The Reserve Bank looked at this in 1996 and it decided to drastically cut its holdings of gold. And indeed, it had 20% of its sort of international reserve assets, its foreign currency and so on, were in the form of gold. It's now only 5%. I've got the paper here. I'll also put it on your website, the confidential board minute released under Freedom of Information. They said that there was some benefit in holding gold as insurance against a breakdown in the international financial system. And that's why... Now, they got rid of a lot of it, and the price of gold fell as a result. It's since way more than recovered. People hold it because of this belief, an irrational belief, I suppose, but a cautious belief that maybe one day all of this paper money will break down.
And we'll have some ingots left in the vault.
There's no sign of that happening.
I don't know. I just saw The Rover, the movie, on the weekend, which is all
what
about
is the Rover?
10 years after the financial collapse, set in the Australian desert with... it's the most terrifying film.
We've had two financial collapses.
Yes,
we had the Asian economic crisis.
Yes, this is the financial collapse. But I won't go there. So, I mean, is gold...
Well, no, really, it is that kind of future. It is that. Because we know about ordinary financial collapses. It's that thought... that gold will endure and will one day become the cigarettes, you know, of the future, and that paper money will be rendered worthless. And if you think about it in a very long time frame, right, we've only, you know, I've been talking centuries, but in 1,000 years, will US dollars still be there, those pieces of paper? Gold will still be there. That's the belief of these people who buy it, even though it has no real use. Do you know how much gold... or how much of the world's gold resources are used for teeth and jewellery and so on?
No.
10%.
Small.
So its real uses are tiny compared to the amount of people and banks hoarding it just in case, even though there's no reason to hoard it.
So you seem to think that it's a rather silly investment. Is
it? It's turned out to be a brilliant investment. The Reserve Bank sold it. It was $350 a tonne in 1996. It's now $1,254 a tonne.
There you go. Not irrational at all.
Well, there's this thing in financial markets that it doesn't matter if someone's irrational. If you do what everyone else is doing, you'll make money, right? You know, it's like the bidding for... you know, those number plates, you know, sexy or, you know, whatever you've got on your number plate. Oh, yeah, there's no intrinsic value, but because people think there are, other people can buy them and
profit that it has value.
Put up the price, yeah.
Yeah, intriguing. Peter Martin, thank you so much for joining us. I do love the line from Warren Buffett. Gold gets dug up out of the ground someplace, then we melt it down, dig another hole, bury it again and pay people to stand around guarding it. It has no utility. Anyone watching from Mars would be scratching their head.
They would.
Thanks, Peter.